Okay, everybody, it's time for the great debates.
Yeah.
Love being in the studio with my boys.
It's fun.
Yeah.
My homies.
No doubt it's fun. I've got something really fun for us to do today.
Wonderful.
I'm not going to get right into it with a micro debate.
Okay.
I thought we might switch it up and try something that I'd like to call sudden death debates.
Ooh, sexy.
How's it work?
So basically, whoever blurts out what we'll call the winning argument first wins the debate.
Now, do you have the winning argument in your head?
No.
Or you'll just know it when you hear
I'm going to know, because a lot of times what happens with the debates are someone has the winning argument and it's like one, and then there's like five more minutes of like blah, blah, blah. So I'm just going to cut you off.
Love.
When I hear what I think is the winning argument.
Very cool.
Okay.
You know, something that convinces me.
This is how court cases should work.
Kind of, right?
Definitely not.
And presidential debates.
Nope. It's a terrible form of...
Often it's how
Jim Lehrer should cut it off.
We just don't. We let people go on
afterwards.
We just
don't know it.
Okay. Mm. So to get us started, a warm-up, I've got one for you.
But this counts, right?
This counts.
Okay, good.
Also, the pro has the advantage, presumably, because they could just say the winning argument and game over before the con even talks.
Have to trust the moderator to give a little bit of whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my best.
If you swish it
on your opening statement, cool. Then maybe
there
that's
can
it.
Be an ace. Okay. Winning first in our series of sudden death debates. Steve Healy taking the pro. Traffic in L.A. is not that bad.
It's not that bad because you know it's bad. You know that there's going to be traffic in LA. You make adjustments. Life is tolerable. You listen to a podcast. You know that it takes 40 minutes to get from
here
to Santa Monica.
Said that it's bad. Healy just said, you know it's bad.
The topic is it's not that bad.
He just agreed to the con. He just said it's not that bad because you know it's bad, and now his argument is between the definition of bad and that bad.
Yes,
he said it's bad.
Correct.
And but you also maintain that it's not that bad.
It's not that bad. That's where the word "that" is in there.
Things are still bad, even if you know they're bad. Being in prison is still bad, even though you know it's going to be bad. Everybody knows it's a shitty time, but nobody says, oh, you know, prison is like, it's not that bad. You know why? Because you know it's bad. It's prison. Everybody knows prison is bad once you get there. The reason it's not that bad is because everybody knows prison is bad. And you know that you're not going to have anything to do and all of your freedoms are going to be taken away from you.
Why are you talking about prison? We're talking about traffic in Los Angeles. And it's not that bad because you're like, I know that there will be significant traffic, so I will prepare myself emotionally.
Some cliches are true.
I will bring a LaCroix in the car.
This is one of them.
I will listen to a great playlist and it will be fine.
There are things that you could do to ameliorate
the situation. Do you think traffic in LA is terrible? Try driving in Jakarta or Bogota or Mumbai. Forget it. Most
places that are worse doesn't mean that the traffic here isn't bad.
LA is the first
in most cities. You're absolutely
right. LA is the first city in the United States to become a mega city, a world mega city. And that in mega cities, the traffic in the downtown areas is horrifying. Try driving in Tehran or Calcutta.
What? Really? Mm-hmm. What? Drive to Tehran is
just like the mega cities, you know. I'm going with mega
cities. Cool. Right? Awesome.
God.
Love it.
Yeah. Wait, that makes it not that bad because it's a mega city?
A mega city, our traffic is amazing.
I started to get convinced by the idea that when you compare it with a city like Mumbai, whatever, and then when I got the mega cities...
That's crazy.
Come on, you gotta make that a sexy argument.
That's pretty good.
It's bad is because it's a mega city.
You took a basic bitch take the whole way through.
That's uncalled for. What, we gotta go after each other personally.
Sorry, I'm just saying.
It's bad because you know it's bad. It's not bad because you know it's bad. Isn't a basic bitch argument?
That's inventive and clever.
Oh my god!
Look, it wasn't a swish. I'm going for the swish hole in one every time.
No, you missed.
Yeah,
okay.
It took me two to three minutes.
Davis, do you want to take the pro on a debate so you have a chance at a swish,
no,
or do you care?
I'm gentlemanly. I want.
It's just like
that's not the way I play.
Yeah,
I don't think
it's
that easy to get the swish.
Look. I'm a con man.
It's never happened.
I've always been a con man. That's how I live.
Okay. Here we go. Topic number two in our series of sudden death debates. Healy has 1 point. And topic number two is Mike Myers is back.
I'm taking the pro?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't...
Go ahead, bud. Swish it. Step back and drain it.
Hey, we're talking
three.
We're talking about him. Okay. He's in the air. Okay. Somehow this topic came up. I don't know how. Did a listener send it in? Did Dave send it in? Somehow we're talking about Mike Myers again. Back, baby.
Here's how I'm going to win the argument. I'm going to ask Healy the name of the character.
I think I just switched.
I'm going to ask Healy the name of the character he's playing. Healy's not going to be able to answer it, and that's going to prove that Mike Myers is not back. Healy, what's the name of the new Mike Myers character, the host of The Gong Show?
I don't know.
Of course you don't. That's why Mike Myers
isn't
back.
Frankly, I didn't even know he was
on,
in.
He's on network television, and you can't tell me the name of the character?
He's in the Gong Show?
He's Austin Powers, man. That you're supposed to... Oh, yes. Yes. You didn't know he was on the Gong Show.
I don't know any... I don't want to throw on this in a million years. He's obviously not back. Back? Are you kidding me? He was the king of the world. Mike Myers is back.
Didn't know that that's what we were arguing about?
I had no idea.
He's Tommy Maitland. He's the host of the Gong Show.
What do you mean?
I can't believe he didn't know.
He's the host of the Gong Show in character?
Yes.
They're redoing the Gong Show?
They're doing it, man. It's like months old. Where have you been?
I think I'd kind of heard about the Gong Show, hadn't heard that it was Mike Myers. So
wait, is everybody else in character?
No.
Did he make up a character to be?
Yes. It's so funny to me that you thought that we were just arbitrarily arguing that Mike Myers is back and you didn't know that he was actually doing something.
I didn't pick the topic.
But you argued it anyway. Hey, we're talking about... Oh, sorry.
Very good.
So wait, tell me what is going on. He is the host of the Gong Show.
For the totally true... totally true. Mike Myers created a new character named, I believe, Tommy Maitland.
Okay.
Who was, the character is like a legend of British stage and screen or
he loves that
sort
stuff.
Sort of like a jolly old good man who like, has a quick hit.
He loves a world of British comedy.
Yeah. And so there's a new Gong Show. I believe it's on ABC.
Okay.
They actually have like decent celebrities as the... That you know what I mean? They have like very famous people as judges.
Are they in character?
No, they're playing it totally straight. But Mike Myers hosts in character
as Tommy Maitland.
Yes, he also did like a number of talk show appearances in character to promote the new Gong Show. I believe Will Arnett is producing.
Bypass me entirely. We should have argued Tommy Maitland is back.
I don't think so. I think this went pretty well.
Okay. Wow. Next to sudden death, it's 1-1.
Here we go. Topic number three. Steve Healy taking the pro. Sharks are sick fucks.
Sharks are sick fucks. What do we mean when we talk about a sick fuck? We mean emotionless killer. Basically, a sick fuck is somebody who has no empathy for somebody else. Sharks have no empathy. They represent the indifference of nature, and that is the sickest thing on planet Earth.
Sharks are no different than other animals. They are no... To call a shark a sick fuck...
Doesn't matter. A sick fuck is no different than other humans. He's just a sick fuck.
Would you call... But there are some humans who are sick fucks, and there are some humans who are not
the
sick
humans
fucks.
Who
You're
are
not
sick,
a sick fuck.
The humans who are sick fucks are natural the same way a shark is. They're produced by nature. They're sick fucks, but just like a shark... To encounter them is terrifying
There's
and alarming
that a shark
because
is doing.
They represent the cruel indifference of nature.
There is absolutely nothing a shark does. Medina, listen to me here. There is nothing a shark does that is as sick or as fucky as or more sick or more fucky than any other animal on the food chain. And that includes everything from the plankton that it might eat, I don't know, to snails, to Healy's cat, Margaret, who is a sick fuck, who he told us earlier eats hummingbirds. But I actually don't believe
she
that Margaret
didn't eat
is
hummingbirds.
A sick
fuck. She killed a hummingbird.
She killed a
and
hummingbird.
Brought it to me as a
I don't
present.
Think that's a sick fuck.
No,
I think
that's respectful. Just... Now, a shark will bite the leg off Soul Surfer and eat it. And just swim away.
But all it's
swim
doing
off
is,
to safety. And Soul Surfer's missing a leg. That is sick fuck behavior.
Does that the same way a frog eats a fly with its tongue?
No, a frog it's eats just, the whole fly. Only a shark will just bite off somebody's leg and then swim away. That's sick fuck behavior.
Well, I don't think that's true. I don't think sharks are the only animal that only
they
eats
don't have to be the
part.
Only sick fucks in nature. Tarantulas are also sick fucks. But sharks are sick fucks.
So tarantulas, sharks, what are other animals you would categorize?
Tarantulas, sick fucks.
I think you have to say this.
Cobra, snakes.
Here's what it comes down to. If you say a shark is a sick fuck, then all animals are sick fucks.
No, these are the sick fuck animals. Tarantulas, scorpions, sharks, cobras, not all snakes. A lot of snakes don't even have venom. And that's it, I think. Those are the sick fuck animals.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right. Damn it.
Oh, that was cool.
It's weirdly true, right? I mean, there's just something about them.
I don't know. Maybe all our debates should be sudden death. The game is being elevated, I think.
Certainly, a third of our debates should be about things that you have no idea about. I know that's the case. Wait, before we go further,
yeah.
Or do you want to keep going? You had some host chat you wanted to talk about, but I feel like it might just slow us down.
Bog us down. Yeah.
Let's take a break. There's a halftime in every great football game,
yeah,
right?
Let's take a little break. Okay. So
I'm having too much fun.
We have a wonderful friend named Ted Widmer.
Mm.
He's a historian and scholar. He's currently at the Library of Congress. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, I call Ted Widmer up. And one of his specialties is Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
Another is John Kennedy.
One of the all around most interesting men.
Great person, great guy. And so I call
also,
him.
Also, I think we should mention, was in the band The Upper Crust of Let Them Eat Rock fame, a legitimately great band that was also hysterical.
What was his character's name?
I believe he was Lord Rockingham. Lord Rockingham. But I'm not sure.
Of course. No, he was definitely Lord Rockingham.
Yeah, he was Lord Rockingham.
So I called Ted Widmer up and I'm like, Ted, you know, everybody knows about the Lincoln-Douglas debates. They were like...
Right. You hear that all
the time. What do you
know
about them? Yeah. Dave, what do you know about the Lincoln-Douglas debates?
I don't know much. I believe they were the presidential debates, right?
No, they were not.
Nope,
okay.
No,
they
weren't. Nope, wrong immediately.
Do you know...
Lincoln and Douglas were in them, right?
Mm, that sounds right.
Do you know that they were long?
I had some notion of the idea that they were like, in my mind... They were like kind of traveling
exactly
show
right.
of
yes.
debates,
yes.
Where, and it was going to be like an all-day affair, and they yes. were known for their amazing oratory skills.
Yes. So Lincoln and Douglas were running for Senate in Illinois.
Like I said, running for Senate.
They traveled around the state having these debates, and I think most people, like, you often hear like sort of pundits say like, Lincoln and Douglas debated for 3 hours, and everyone listened enraptured.
Right.
They like to talk about that as like a golden age of American discourse or whatever. So I call Ted. I'm like, Ted, what was it like? Mm-hmm. If you were at the Lincoln-Douglas debate, mm-hmm. was there a guy selling food? Mm-hmm. What did mm-hmm. tell me everything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
yeah.
he's intrigued, but he, you know, a scholar. He didn't want
to. I do his research.
Can't speak to this just yet. Let me come back to you. Mm-hmm. He comes back to me some months later with
months
a link
later.
To
yeah. Yeah.
Dickinson College on their website. They have just collected every firsthand account of people who were at the Lincoln-Douglas debates.
Fantastic. Is that the same as Fairleigh Dickinson College?
I think it's a different place.
Huh. Keels, okay. My hope is that when it's time to air this episode, you'll tweet out a link.
Oh, absolutely.
For all of us to enjoy.
So anyway, nice. We've got the recollection of Lydia Titus. Okay?
Great.
Lydia Titus, in 1858, she went to see the Lincoln-Douglas debates. I'm going to tell you her description of going to see them. The girls near Rio decided that we would attend the debate in a body. Accordingly, we decorated a hay wagon, and each girl made a banner to carry with the name of a state on it. I chose New York, as that was my native state.
But they're running for Senate?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But for some reason, they decided to make banners with different states, just a festive, I don't know, the
sure.
way you might make
sure.
it. I don't know. So they ride the hay wagon, and they called it the Lincoln Express.
Mm.
When they'd gone about 7 miles, we overtook 3 girls walking, who seemed glad to accept our invitation to hop aboard the Lincoln Express. However, they proved to be Democrats.
Ooh.
And before we arrived in Galesburg, they said they wished they had walked.
Wow.
Pretty harsh.
Yeah.
You got a 3-mile ride and a hayride and you're pissed about it. We stopped just outside the city by a stream of clear, cold water to eat our lunch and to water our horses.
Okay, Healy.
Yeah.
If this is erotic Lincoln Douglas fan fiction that you wrote, to come clean about
I'm
it.
I'm telling you. So
just tell us right now. Tell us if that's what this is.
Here's everything she says about the debate. Soon the debate began. The crowd had to stand as no benches had been provided.
Huh.
Although the discussion lasted 2.5 hours,
oh my God,
or 3 hours, none of us girls left our place down in front. I think Mr. Douglas was the better orator, but of course I felt that Mr. Lincoln was right. On our way home, we laughed and sang and arrived at Rio tired but happy. So that's what it was like to attend the Lincoln-Douglas debates.
All right. That's pretty
was
good.
Was that anything? I don't know.
It was very good.
I was trying to make history come to life.
No, I like that.
On the topic of debate.
I want to go stop somewhere by the river and eat some sandwiches.
The cool, clear water, yeah, outside the city.
I feel like we're not stopping to eat sandwiches as often as we should be.
Not nearly enough.
That is the takeaway from, what's her name, Lydia?
Lydia.
Yeah.
Lydia, sweet Lydia.
She's, Lydia Titus.
You know what,
influenced
honestly,
my way of life.
Lydia gets it.
Do you think Lydia, if she were alive now, would enjoy the Great Debates podcast?
No.
Clearly.
Okay. Would she like your favorite murder? My favorite murder.
No, I think she would be too. It would just.
No, the Democrats that she picked up would, though.
Yeah, they would.
Oh, yeah.
They're
yeah.
sickos.
Do you mean like Lydia born in 1840 or like, and she's 170 now or whatever?
Yeah, if she's just functioning, okay. She's going to be relieved.
Yeah. Okay.
Give us another sudden death.
Let's go to another sudden death. Okay, this one is a mouthful. You should keep your kids' drawings until they are adults.
Okay, I'm Steve Healy and I'm taking the pro. You never know what's going to happen to your kid. Those drawings could be worth something someday. One argument. Your kids like that you, as a parent, paid enough attention to them to hang on to their drawings. That's valuable. Argument number two. Argument number three, you, as you move your hand across the paper 40 years later and remember what young Johnny and young Sarah Beth were like, and they made that painting, you're making a tactile connection to the past and to your child, and the passage of time will feel so real to you in your hands. Hey, I took three shots. Dave's
done. Okay, no one's ever done that. Those paintings do nothing but sit in a box in your attic or your garage. No one ever revisits them. This picture that you're painting is the most hypothetical thing I've ever heard. Your parents have never once dug up a finger painting from when you were in Mrs. Sullivan's kindergarten class and ran their hand over it and thought about five-year-old Healy finger painting. It's just clutter. It's garbage.
If my mom by
kids
chance
are not okay, good
if my mom
at
by
drawing.
Chance came across a kindergarten, if, you know, here's what I think.
Yeah, here's
you
what
should
happens.
Keep your kids.
Here's what happens. Here's what happens. She goes, Steve, I came across this thing. Do
no,
you
no,
want
no,
it? I don't want any. I'm going to throw
Steve
it away
was.
Unless you want
this
it.
This is what
then
was
you feel
was
the burden of. I guess if you're going to throw it away, I'll take. I don't want this relic of my childhood. Now I feel bad about not being nostalgic, and I guess I'll take it.
Calling my shot. I'm going to make the winning argument. You should keep your kids' drawings, but not all in one place. Keep them here and there. Put one of your kids' drawings here in the bookshelf, in the back of some book. And every now and again, in passing through your house, you may by chance come across some memory of your child.
Healy going with the argument that if you're going to be a hoarder, you might as well be as disorganized as possible.
If you have them all in one place, they become devalued and meaningless. But to randomly come across a child's drawing and remember her youth and to see what she was doing, that's beautiful.
That one?
Come on. That's a great argument.
That's good.
Yeah.
Come on, that's good.
Come on, Dave.
It's interesting.
Yeah, you know you're going to be the number one. If you have children, you're
going
to be
the number one saver.
Of course, number one saver.
I've got another one.
Oh boy,
oh, man. Would you say why?
I did. Boy, it takes a lot out of you.
It takes a lot out of you, right? Very exciting. here's another one, Healy.
Yeah.
Hooray for the mailman.
Mailmen suck, dude. Mailmen, their time is over. I'm sorry, I'm jumping in. They're absolutely, they are absolute relics of history. There's no need for mailmen anymore. It's the same where it's like, no one's going to miss them when they're gone, and they can't be gone soon enough. Also, they're freaking annoying. My mailman stopped me the other day. He was like, your name is David, and an Esther lives in the same place. The Lord works in mysterious ways.
Oh,
I was like,
hurry
well,
for cool. this guy.
Well, I actually found him insulting. I was like, I don't believe
Bible.
In that. That's not, it's a surely, it's just a coincidence.
That is cool.
Everyone is named after people from the Old Testament. It is not like
the blue
a coincidence
uniform.
At all.
This
it's not blue, it's actually gray, it's always faded,
jacket,
it's gross.
The truck, the trust, you can put a card to your mother's birthday and you're going to trust this man to deliver
the
it.
Mailmen are
that
no,
is the power of the mailman.
You say,
hooray for anyone who takes as their job the public trust of delivering a letter from one place to another.
The first thing people think about when they think about mailmen is how often things get
humble,
lost in the mail.
Respect for the mailman. Hooray for the mailman. For Mr. Zip to take on the mantle of Mr. Zip and bring the
what
letter.
What is that?
He was who's the postal Mr. mascot for a while. Remember Mr. Zip?
No.
Remember that guy? He was the mailman?
No.
Anyway, I mean, it really it's coming down to taking on the power of the federal government and offering a convenience and a service that requires a huge amount of trust.
Two totally different things. The post office and mail and the mail service, I'm all for. Post office is hugely underutilized public resource that we have. I'm all for like the local banking ideas that for the post office and all that shit. But mailmen, they're not. And why do we need to say hooray for them? They're just doing their job like anyone else.
It's a tough job. It's not that tough. All weather and they
signed up for it. They could have done anything they wanted. Why we don't have to say hooray for them?
So enormous.
The what?
We don't have to say. Look, hooray for teachers. Hooray for firemen. I say hooray for everyone. Well, that's what it
is. To say hooray for everyone is basically to say, well, we're not going to say hooray for the mailman. They're not any better. They're not doing a job that's any better than anyone else.
I feel like I'm like channeling like Walt Whitman, like Leaves of Grass. I say hooray for the fireman. Hooray for the teacher.
Hooray for the maker of sandwiches. You're not hooray channeling for the subway artist. I don't know why you think that that's what's
hooray
going on.
Hooray for the taxi driver and hooray for the video game programmer and hooray for the mailman. I say hooray to all Americans, true in their labor, honest, assuming their mantle. Hooray for he who assumes a mantle, a responsibility and a trust.
You know what mailmen are? They're garbage delivery men. They put garbage into your home. 95% of what they carry around is absolute garbage, and the other 5% could have been emailed to you.
Every single thing they carry has value placed on it, a stamp of some kind of certification that I want this to be delivered somewhere, and their job is to do it.
Hooray for them to do that. Most of the stuff that's delivered to you, you instantly throw away. It's like mailers and discount shit and all of those. What are the red apple or whatever it's called, things that you or offers from credit cards. People, I mean, they're letting people into your home that shouldn't be in your home.
Those are things of value. Someone wants those delivered, they're paying money for it, and they trust the mailman to do it.
Healy, what's your mailman's name?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't talk, but I say hooray for him.
Why? If you don't even have the decency to learn this man or this woman's name and you say hooray for them, you are so removed from their life, you don't care about them. Think about this for a second.
The topic isn't be friends with your mailman.
Think about this for a second.
Cheer them on.
This person has come to your home every day for the last, 6 years? You don't even know their name and you dare say hooray for this person?
Yeah.
How dare you?
I say hooray for a lot of people.
How dare you, Steve Healy? That is a lie, if you will, to say that you actually think that this person is deserving of great credit, and you don't even write them a Christmas card.
I say hooray for that 2-year-old that fist bumped everybody on the plane. I don't know his name.
That person doesn't come to your
house. I say hooray for a funny dog in
you
Europe that thought the parade was just for him. Hooray for him.
For who?
We need more hooraying in society. We need more positivity, more cheering on.
Oh, that?
Yeah.
Come on! We need more hooraying?
You really made us work for it this time.
God damn it. The garbage argument was the winner.
He got me to a point where I was like, what happens if nobody makes the winning argument?
It's like the fifth set at Wimbledon where it goes
It goes a long way.
I guess I'm not good at sudden death. I don't know.
It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's interesting. Hooray for the mailman.
That was an exciting day of debate.
Cheers.
I mean, for me, the winning argument is like we're relying on deliveries more than ever in our lives now. Mm-hmm. We don't want to go out.
But that's not the mailman.
That's hooray for the postmate.
Well, but hooray for the Amazon. He's an essential part of the whole thing. Until we're getting them by drones, then, you know.
Oh, man.
Also, don't you feel like every person who works at the post office is a mailman in one way or another, you know?
Mm.
Just like every army guy was a soldier at one point, you know what I'm saying?
Maybe.
That's cool.
I don't know what I'm saying, but I do hear what you're saying. Oh, here's Mr. Zip. Producer Mark is handing us is that what it's called? Mr. Zip?
Yeah.
Mr. Zip.
That is weak.
Have I seen?
Stinks.
I mean, I mainly know Mr. Zip because our friend Evan went as him for Halloween 1 year.
Yes, now I remember.
That's funny.
Mr. Zip.
I don't think I'd put a name on Mr. Zip before then.
Did they introduce this when Zip Code started?
I don't know.
Great.
The post office should sponsor the Great Debates, I think.
Of course they should.
Yeah.
It's crazy that they don't. USPS, if you're out there, Great Debate 69 on Twitter, just let us know. We'd love your sponsorship.
Tweet at us.
Tweet at us. You can find us on Instagram. You know what? Actually, that's the best. Postal Service, Instagram us. DM us on Instagram, if that's what
that's
it's
the
called.
Best way.
One time traveling, I met a guy whose job for about 30 years had been being a photographer for the Postal Service.
Oh, that's interesting.
He would go about and photograph the different post offices and photograph mailmen on their routes and people
you
doing
need to
their
have
job.
That
guy. Yeah, it was a good propaganda effort. And he loved his job. He was a photographer. Cool.
My dad was a mailman one summer.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How did he do?
I think it was fine. I don't think he loved it.
100% delivery rate?
I don't know. Well, I'll ask him.
Yeah.
What are the stats out there?
It can't be good.
Almost all mail gets delivered, right?
Yeah, most of it.
You know what we don't have at Great Debates? A postal address.
We don't.
We got to get on
You can't write us a letter.
Don't, there's a reason
don't
for that.
Don't mail us.
That was Dave, that was a killer argument left on the table. The winning argument. The Great Debates doesn't have an address, and we do just fine.
Oh, that's true. Also, that like mailmen could be delivering you a pipe bomb or something.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the mailmen were accomplices in a lot of horrible crimes.
They should be prosecuted.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we should get them.
Definitely.
Let's get them. Guys, really enjoyed Sudden Death Debates. Hope you did too, and we'll see you next week on the Great Debates program. The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.